Good evening, everyone. Hello and welcome to the monthly radio slash Facebook slash podcast show called Who Are These Spiritualists? I am your host, Stacey Sherman Kapczynski, and I have been a spiritualist, a practicing spiritualist as my faith, the science, philosophy, and religion of modern spiritualism for over a decade now. And this show is meant to connect you to other spiritualists living around the world who also practice as their faith and their belief the science, philosophy, and religion of modern spiritualism. I have been on a journey of spiritualism since I went to Lilydale for the first time 16 years ago. I currently am with my partner Michelle and the owner of Sacred Grounds Coffee House in Lilydale, New York. My journey seems to always bring me back into spiritualism and into places in which the spiritualist movement is strong. So I am excited to bring you our guest today, Graham Conley. He will be with us here in just a moment. Like to tell you a little bit about Graham Conley. He is a certified medium, a commissioned healer, a national spiritualist teacher, and an ordained minister with the National Spiritualist Association of Churches. He has served spiritualist churches and camps around the US and the UK. Graham has also been very active in the management of spiritualist organizations, including the ISF, which is the International Spiritualist Federation. Graham's mission is to educate individuals and groups to bridge the analytical with the intuitive. He does that by being a mentor and a tutor in various disciplines. Amongst those disciplines are psychic medium, shamanistic practitioner. I'll have to ask him about that. 2 years training with Spirit Passage, cranial sacral practitioner. And also works with equines. So I'm excited to welcome him. So let's bring him in for this evening's discussion of Who Are These Spiritualists, which can be found on Facebook under Lilydale Assembly or Blog Talk Radio, Lilydale. All right, everyone. So, welcome, Graham. It's so great to have you on the show. Who Are These Spiritualists? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for the invitation, Stacy.
Absolutely. Graham and I do go a little ways back, so it's exciting. We've been able to be part of each other's journey. So, in that, how did you find the journey of spiritualism?
So many people believe, because I'm British, that I was a spiritualist before I moved over here in 1984 for a job. But I became aware of spiritualism per se in 1993, which when I joined the Portland Spiritist Church, I was going through a bit of a crisis, several crises. And I just enjoyed what I witnessed for 6 or 7 weeks. And then I started attending and became a member of the Portland Spiritist Church at that time. So actually, that was in my hand of fellowship was in September 1993, so 30 years ago, I took my
Oh.
hand of fellowship. So,
Wow. Yeah, we just passed September. Well, a little bit ago. So, yeah, 30 years. Congratulations. Yeah. So, what about spiritualism? Like, what about Port? Like, just to clarify to our listeners, Portland, Maine is what we're talking
Oh,
about,
yes,
right?
correct. Portland Spiritist Church in Maine, not Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. What attracted you to, I know you said you were in crises, but like, what kind of brought you to that church, and then what aspect of spiritualism like attracted you to that?
Sure. Well, at first, the very first church service I did was probably attended was in February of 1993. And the closing hymn was actually the medium, Captain John Tremblay, who's now in spirit. He chose In the Garden. And while I was singing that with everybody else in the circle, I started feeling very emotional. And I pose the question of why am I feeling emotional and wanting to cry? And all I heard that came back was, it is time to come home in my mind. So I thought, being a former microchip designer for 30 plus years, my analytical mind, well, where did that come from, et cetera, went through that whole part of trying to understand. But what I became aware of is that with my engineering background, I had disconnected from my spiritual life. So that is what brought me actually into the journey with spiritualism. So I started attending the Friday night classes, and I originally didn't have any desire or ambitions to become an ordained minister or a certified medium, but it just naturally happened with the prodding of spirit. And so that's how I became interested in it. And it, my mother was a Rosicrucian, ancient mystical order of the Rosy Cross, and she went to a high level. So she would educate me in the unseen realm, but she never pushed me into it. And then I started realizing experiences that I had, which included in 1973, dreaming of my car accident 3 months before it happened, including all the injuries. So wow. When that happened as well in 1973, it put me on the path of exploring how did I know that? How come I had that, in effect, precognition? And that was my path. And then in 1993, I joined the Portland Spiritist Church. And here in Maine, as people who are familiar with NSAC spiritualism, Harrison D. Barrett was born in Canaan, Maine. And so we have a big foundation of spiritualism in the state of Maine. We have five auxiliaries up here, two camps and three churches at the moment, and an NSAC direct church as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of spiritualism up here in Maine.
I love it. I love it. So speaking of spiritualism, you know, for most of you who are, you know, involved in spiritualism, you may or may not call yourself a spiritualist, but the idea of modern spiritualism is three ways. It's a science, a philosophy, and a religion is what, you know, is what we tend to define modern spiritualism as. Do you find yourself kind of being directed to one of those more than the other? Do you kind of practice all three equally? What's your idea of that?
I don't know if I sort of practice all three equally, but for me, what I love the most is teaching and education. And my mission now, because outside of spiritualism, I do other modalities. And to me, it's about growing and the outreach. And now science is starting to catch up with our pioneers like Franz Anton Mesmer and Mother Ann and all of those people, and Andrew Jackson Davis. So my big calling is probably 70% is doing readings and mediumship, but there's a lot of actual education, teaching people mediumship and the unseen realm and how it can benefit your individual life, even if you don't choose to be a medium per se. Just how having that connection and knowing that it's real, it's not quote woo-woo.
Right.
My people, you can imagine me using these skills and these connection with spirit in a microchip design environment. You know, people would say, how the heck does he know that? And you say, oh, just my intuition, but it was more than that. So
yeah, absolutely. So well,
education, I think, is where I like to focus and grow more in.
Absolutely. I think education, well, again, if you think about the movement of spiritualism and how it started and all the people that were involved, you know, pre the movement, you know, during the movement, post the movement, they're all main focus is continued education, constantly learning or relearning or questioning, who am I, right? Like, how does this all work? Who am I, and what part does it play? Now, it's interesting because I think, Graham, you know, one of it already, you kind of we're kind of going back a little bit into the interview, these aha moments. I feel like we have a lot of them when we start to feel the presence of spirit and the awareness of the more right around us. And obviously having, a mother raising you in a very open-minded, idea and theory, and then having that moment of knowing, that precognitive moment of knowing. What other aha moments have you experienced since, diving into the world of spiritualism?
Interesting. That's just so many to try and picture. I think some of the things now, for example, with that car accident, one time I was at home for the weekend and I had this, cognitive thing of a vehicle being overturned on the side of the road, and the vehicle was exactly the same make and model and color as mine. And this was many years after my car accident that I nearly died in. But, I was like, momentarily, I was like, oh my gosh. And I just heard a reassuring voice from spirit saying, this isn't you. And then on my drive back to London, I came over to the brow of this hill. And as I was looking down the hill, there on the side of the road was a vehicle, overturned and two people helping on that. So there's been a lot of little things like that, but now I've also started raising my, I guess it's raising the bar on myself and spirit, okay? So I want more clear detail, okay? So what's happens for me as well in my private business is I've often had in my mediumship, because I'm clairsentient, I sense spirit, and then I feel and I give them permission to influence my body or my organs, etc., knowing that I won't retain any of it, that when they leave, it leaves too. But now I've had situations where when I even walk up to people, I get information from their body as well, or I get clear descriptions of, oh, it was a heart attack, but more like the granularity is like it's congestive heart failure. So that's what also excites me as I continue the principles of spiritualism and the objects of spiritualism. It helps me get clearer now. So I have a better, I always say spirit has never let me down, okay? But at the same time, I will say, and a friend told me, well, yes, that's true. Spirit's never disappointed me. And I say, well, spirit has disappointed me. And that's a bit of a dichotomy because I say, spirit's never let me down, but they have disappointed me, which seems to be the same. But it's about the context. Me as a human, I'm expecting it in a certain manner or a certain time frame. So I get disappointed, but they've always, when I'm feeling down, they also always provide either someone I meet or something that happens to say, hey, you're meant to be doing this work. So that's why I haven't given it up yet.
Yes. Well, and Graham, you bring such a good point, because I know, some of the people listening today, maybe you've been, in spiritualism forever or born into it, or maybe you've just discovered it right today and you're, just trying to learn, navigate your way through. It is a navigation process. It is a development process. We never master it. It's a race that we never finish. It might be a race we start, and then some days we don't race at all other days. But I think it's what's really important, what you were just saying is you keep obtaining or trying to live by the, principles or the objection, the objectives of spiritualism. Like, we incorporate that into our daily living. And some days it's clear, some days it's not so clear. And as we progress, it can become clearer. I think a lot of people want those big aha moments now. Like you said, like, well, come on, I'm ready now, spirit. Give it to me. Oh, what do you mean, divine timing and patience? And
Right. For example, my short-term memory is getting a little less acute, and I will be like, "Where's this? Where's that?" And I will keep saying to spirit, "Help me." And now it's gone to the level that as soon as I have the thought of where is it, they actually turn my body exactly, or they lead me exactly to what, I'd say it's probably a 60 to 70% hit rate that I'm just suddenly drawn straight to exactly where it is. And whereas in the past it was hit and miss, and I wouldn't pay attention to it, so they gently hit me by the proverbial 2x4 to say, "Come on, practice what you teach or preach," And it's like, so I'm constantly striving to further that relationship, because when you do that, profound things happen for you and for others. So.
Really important too, and really important to point out too, Graham, like now that you are feeling such clairsentience, getting such into the body, like I loved how you said that you're allowing. Notice too, I think it's important that he said he's allowing, spirit and you can work together in these, that it's not just spirit possession or takeover, it's a co-communicating with one another.
Yeah, it's
So.
a symbiotic relationship. So, for example, people who say from them to me to the client to me to the client, I actually politely request to the loved ones and say, "I want you to come and stand next to the client and whisper in their ear or turn, so that if I, for some reason, do not have a clear link for whatever is distracting me, they may know who it is before I've even given much information." Because when I was first starting out, and I'd watch people doing messages at church, 30 years ago, it would be, "Well, there's this woman to the side of you, and I'm jumping for joy, and I don't know what it is." Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to judge people, but as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, "Where's the continuity of life?" And then I was reminded by spirit that it's not what you see or what you feel, it's what the client or the person who's getting the message sees and feels. So when I would sign those affidavits, I was always recognizing that I have to get out of what I was witnessing, because it's a very complex relationship with spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. You're giving me chills on that. That's why I like that. I always like when that happens. So, one of the things that some of the listeners might not no, and I'll let you in on that. Graham and I have known each other for quite a few years now, at least. I don't remember how long, but in and out. And I definitely love the great state of Maine and all that it has to offer. And Graham and I find a commonality a little bit in history. Like we love history, and I think history is just so important. Not that it, is the end all be all, right? But it's a great foundation of what, knowing history and understanding the history of the movement and the people, the massive amounts of people involved. Like so many people think it might just be the Fox sisters. Well, that's just, just stones in the big wall of spiritualism. And Graham is a history buff also. So that brings me to my next question of, is there a particular spiritualist or spiritualist pioneers that you tend to kind of lean towards that you might be able to help educate some of our listeners about?
Yeah, naturally, Harrison D. Barrett, because he was the first president of NSAC way back when, and he was born in Canaan, Maine, and he would walk 20+ miles from Canaan to Etna to do the service with his shoes around his neck in his sandals, because he wanted to have nice clean shoes when he got to speak from the platform. And then, of course, there's Mark Barwise, who was a part of the with Morris Pratt Institute and doing part of the education program. So there's quite a few there, but I'd say the one that seems to work with me the most, who apparently, well, one of my first Maine State Memorial weekends, I sat in the front row watching the service, and the gentleman came and sat next to me, and it turned out it was Harrison D. Barrett, and I didn't recognize him at first. And he was saying, "You one day you'll be in charge," or something like that. And that was before I became the president. And anyway, The other one is Andrew Jackson Davis, I think. I've had some in the last 6 to 8 months. I've had two or three readings from peers who have stated that, and the descriptions are definitely Andrew Jackson Davis. And I actually love his definitions of mediumship: inward, outward, onward, and upward. When I first heard that, I was not so sure, but what I realized was you have to go inward and know who you are. You have to get to know yourself. And then, you know, outward, whatever's happening inside is projected outside, and then onward and upward. So whatever is happening in your life, just keep moving forward and continue to keep going. So I speak of that a lot. So I would say Andrew Jackson Davis is one of the people. And apparently, according to some friends and peers, he may have once transfigured over me one time when I was. So I think Andrew Jackson Davis is probably right up there, because he also, what was it, January 26, 1896, somewhere around there. Uh-oh, I'm being tested for my memory. If I've got the date wrong, I apologize to all my peers there. But you know, starting the Lyceum with his guide, yeah. David, and seeing the children in spirit and creating the foundation of our knowledge and to pass on to everybody. So,
very big.
So those will be the key ones.
One more time. Inward.
Outward.
Outward.
Onward and upward.
Onward and upward. Wow, profound. I love that. I'm going to think about that. I'm sure you'll probably speak on that numerous times, so I'll have to listen in.
I have done.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Really amazing. Thank you with that. Then, and obviously that, you know, inspiration from the other side is so helpful to all of us spiritualists. That's what we, you know, really use to keep moving forward and keep that connection of our own growth and with spirit. So that being said, also, because again, love to educate, and I see behind you a wall of books. Is there any books that particularly have helped you on your journey?
Conan Doyle, History of Spiritualism, Volume 1 and 2. And
I love it.
How, in terms of healing, Harry Edwards, I have his biography and also a guide to the understanding and practice of spiritual healing. And I had them actually on the shelf behind me, but the camera couldn't discern it, so I put them there just in case you asked.
Just to remind me, right? Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well,
so those two,
very important, you know, and I think too, like spiritual healing, the mediumship that can be done through the healing is also, in my opinion, it's making a comeback. Like, I think we need to be focusing not just on the evidential mediumship that proves the continuity, but all of the mediumship that brings us upward and onward, like Andrew Jackson Davis said. Oh, very cool. So that being said, Graham, where do you like to see the spiritualist movement moving towards? Where do you feel we are going?
That's an interesting one, because I actually believe there's millions of spiritualists in the world. However, they don't say spiritualism is their religion. You know, every football player who says that's for my father or mother up there when they score a touchdown. There's just so many people, even like Wayne Dyer and aspects. So continuity of life is recognized throughout. So, you know, the religion of spiritualism goes back through all of time, even back to, you know, towards Zoroastrianism. And so I would like to see it, because I believe now science is starting to prove. I would like to see it become modern in some of the teachings, but I don't want to see it become like completely like a metaphysical center. We have to remember our history. So I am at times torn about that, but there's so much good information and scientific articles that if we just went down and researched them more would help validate so much of it. And the new people who are exploring parapsychology are coming up with some, you know, profound evidence, clinical studies of how mediumship is real, but you know, it's still very subjective for so many people. But so I'd like to see it modernized to show that we are spirit in a physical body, and it's really about the vibration and how we can discern that vibration and decode and get the information
Yeah, absolutely.
All around us, and from the ancestry DNA as well, from the cellular DNA. So
yeah, it's amazing. You know, kind of what you were saying just reminds me too. And I'm pretty sure it's Moses Hall, but you know, now you're putting on the spots with dates and all of that kind of thing. But you know, he was a Seventh Day Adventist who ended up leaving. I mean, they still talk about him, about, you know, his betrayal into spiritualism, but he was said to always talk about spiritualism actually being like a addition to, never to form its own religion, but be an addition to any religion that believes in a next life, whatever that looks like, because it was the continuity, the actual factual demonstrations that proved your loved one's still here. What does that mean? So it's supposed to be kind of like an addition to, and I think you're right. I think we need to, I agree. I see history is so important. We can't lose where we came from. We just can't, you know, we just can't. We have to go back and read and research and see the mission that all of these mediums, not just mediums who talk to those living in the spirit world, but mediums who connect to the universal consciousness and the healers on the other side. That's a form of mediumship, trance, inspirational speaking. You know, I always say one of my favorite pioneers is Mary Vanderbilt from Camp Etna, right? She spoke there just by the like thousands of people to this little camp, well, big Camp Etna, right? I believe it was like huge. It was very similar to Lilydale Camp, where it had just massive amounts of houses, but she would get up and speak in inspired and trance-like speaking to bring in that philosophy of continual life. And how do we correlate that into ours? Now, in your intro, we talked about some of the things, or I read out loud. Is it shamanistic? Am I saying that right?
Shamanism or shamanistic. I consider myself a shamanic practitioner.
There we go.
I did do 2 years training in with people who trained with Michael Hana, and it actually was something I was very nervous of initially. It was against my religious beliefs and all of this and that and the other, but the experiences that happened for me were, you know, unquestionable. Okay. And so yes, so I've had 2 years training in those aspects too. Yes.
Yeah. And also cranial sacral.
Yeah. Cranial sacral therapy is similar to Reiki. It's an energetic, non-invasive, non-manipulative, hands-on modality. But what I'm doing, what we're trained to do, is to listen to the rhythm of the cerebrospinal fluid. Okay. So how it flows from the brain down to the sacrum, and whether it has good symmetry, what's the quality on the expansion, is it nice and smooth, or is one side a little bit jittery? And what happens is the fascia tissue, is they now recognize that, you know, it's such a vital part of health and transferring information through the body and through, and if it gets dehydrated or it gets around the muscles, it gets too tense. So what's happening is I'm just monitoring that. And for example, I also do it for horses as well, not just for people. But I will sense where there may be blockages or where there needs attention. So it's a non-invasive, and it was something I started learning about 25, 30 years ago, but never really did it as a business. It was just my engineering mind. But more recently, you know, it was like, wow, this is real too, you know, and it's so beneficial. And we, for example, we hold all of our emotional trauma up through the jaw, somato emotional release therapy, and right through here. So, and for us as well, when we talk about the seven energy centers of spiritualism, or chakras for in the Sanskrit teaching, you know, it's right near the throat chakra. So, you know, loss of your voice, not expressing yourself, whichever. So the mandible and the jaw is a very, very profound thing. And that you can also go down through like the vagus nerve or the optic nerve to help with through intention. As so Dr. Upledger created, he was a DO who's now deceased, but it's a profound modality as well. So
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I've got to experience some of Graham's teachings and also listen to some of your meditations, which, man, your vibration rocks my vibration. I love your meditations. I'm just going to say that. So if you ever get a chance. No, Graham, in saying that, if people that have been listening, you know, because I do believe in the law of vibration and I love all the diversity within our, you know, the, I think if anything, spiritually is. Spiritualism needs to hold on to its diversity more than anything. If people have been listening and they're attracted to what they've been hearing by you and maybe want to contact you, how can they find you?
okay, so many years ago, I was in a relationship, and there was a great Pyrenees dog who only lived for about 14 months, but taught me a tremendous amount. And so I named my business back then as Terrassa. The dog's name was Terrassa, or Tara for short. It's a village in the Pyrenees Mountains. So TerrassaHolistics.com is my quote business name, but also, GrahamConnolly.com will get you to that website. And so, yes, I'm available. There's some of the places where I was teaching and working out of, there's been some changes. So, and I also hope to be doing some teachings online as well. So,
Yay, because then I can join in on those. I will be there as an eager student. So wonderful. Again, to our listeners, this has been a recorded interview. So we will, I will, when it goes live, I will put in the link how to find Graham and be able to connect to him. Also, you can travel into the great state of Maine. There's camps and stuff that I always see you serving at, high and low through Maine. So definitely reach out to him if you're planning on traveling to Maine. He can direct you because he is the president of Maine State
that's true.
Association.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've
What an
also been known to be a chauffeur.
Yes. And it's a great car. You can see it from anywhere. Well, Graham, thank you so much for being on our
You.
show, Who Are These Spiritualists? And again, to all of the listeners, we will put in, this is being recorded, so we will put in underneath the video when it goes live on Facebook, how to get a hold of contact of Graham. So again, I'm Stacey Sherman Kopchinski, the host of Who Are These Spiritualists for Lilydale Radio. And please make sure to check out all of the other wonderful hosts and hostesses for Lilydale Radio. There's a lot of programs. So if you're interested in spiritualism, you want to know more about the science, philosophy, or religion, definitely check out the Facebook page, Lilydale Assembly, Lilydale Assembly. .org, the website, or Lilydale Radio. If you are a spiritualist and would like to be on my show or get in contact with me, you can find me at spiritualiststacy.com and reach out. It's always great. You are our first in my, I shouldn't say, oh, you're the first president I've had on of a Maine state. I did have Jackie Wright, president of the SNU on, but you're the first Maine state or only state association president I've had on. So I love that. So thanks again, everyone, for watching. Graham, thanks for attending. And keep your journey inward, out.
Outward, onward, and upward.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you, love.